Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Our forecast for today says we'll have some clouds this morning, otherwise turning mainly sunny at a high in the low 80s. Right now, the temperature in Kenosha, 68 degrees. Some sunshine in Burlington, 65. Milwaukee, 66. And it's 68 in Racine. The U.S. Attorney's Office has announced a federal grand jury indictment against Kathleen Fettick for allegedly executing a scheme to defraud the beneficiaries of estates being handled by Fettick Law Offices, a firm that had been operated by her late father on Douglas Avenue in Racine. A news release indicating that beginning by 2014 and continuing through at least January of last year, and while employed by the law firm, the 55-year-old Fettick wrote checks to herself from the company's account, cashed the checks at banks, liquor stores, and other locations, and prepared and mailed materially false distribution summaries as well as account documentation to the estate beneficiaries. The indictment further alleges that Kathleen Fettick wrongfully obtained in excess of $775,000. If convicted of the mail fraud allegation, Fettick could face up to 20 years in prison and $250,000 fine, also supervised release after any prison term, and the possibility of restitution. The Racine Interfaith Coalition says three more local residents are in federal custody, arrested on the city's north side by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents this week. Group co-president Linda Boyle, notifying the media about it, says these men were followed, arrested by ICE agents the same way Ricardo Fierro was picked up a few weeks ago. As a result, the group is going to hold a protest and march this afternoon, starting around 3:30 or so from the 2300 block of Rapids Drive, the general area where these men were arrested. First time in recent memory, had to go inside due to rain, the annual kick-off event to Racine's National Night Out. It had to be held inside the Salvation Army's building and the gymnasium specifically at Washington and Phillips Avenue. Fans were blowing because it was warm and it was humid inside, but the focus of the event did not change. The importance was community engagement for enhanced public safety. Among those who offered comments, Racine's police chief, Art Howell, he said community partnerships are a key factor.
Across the nation, you have departments where people will not talk to police officers because they don't trust police officers. And here we don't have that narrative because we've, for over 20 years, we've worked intentionally to build trust, relationships, respect, partnerships.
Now, depending on the location, weather conditions did play a role in some of the National Night Out activities in both Racine and Kenosha counties. It's a resolution that would put three referendum questions on the ballot in November in Racine County: legalization, taxation of marijuana, and be getting to the county board for some discussion in the near future. The resolution from the Government Services Committee would ask these questions: should marijuana be legalized for medical use, recreational use, and if taxed and the money set aside for specific uses, could that happen? Supervisor Fabi Maldonado, one of the sponsors, urging the committee, let the voters talk. Supervisor Tom Kramer motioned to remove the taxation question, though, and some of the language in the resolution that he felt reflected the opinions of the authors.
Because we're asking the voters to vote for medical marijuana and recreation marijuana. And I agree with Supervisor Osterman. It gets a little biased in there. It's an argument, and it's not that that's bad, but let's take that out of the resolution.
Motion to recommend approval of the shortened version of the resolution failed in a tie vote. Committee then unanimously sent the entire matter onto the full board. It'll have a first reading next Monday night. Racine and Kenosha County sheriffs are talking about an opioid summit, an educational get-together tonight, 7 o'clock, at the Coin Sports Bar on 52nd Street in Kenosha. They're trying to work together to save lives, they say, through education and aggressive enforcement. He's a kayaker. He jumped into the water, the Pike River, in fact, to help out a 13-year-old girl struggling at the Pike River by the lakefront July the 4th. She was honored by the city council this week with John Ruckay. Helped the girl out with others helping him and get them both out of the water with a chain effort. He thanked the city for that honor. He also talked to the alderman about ways of protecting the city's beaches and the waterways. Working with the Kenosha YMCA, a water safety group has been formed, cooperating with the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Operation. The Y, he said, looking at a number of ways to try to improve lakefront safety.
Public education, swimming lessons, lifeguards. I know that might be a luxury to have lifeguards on the beaches. beach warning signage, you know, bilingual, Spanish, English, danger, fences, 911 call box, anything like that would help along the lakefront.
Meanwhile, Kenosha Alderman David Bogdahl is proposing shifting a couple of thousand dollars out of the CIP budget to fund signage and other safety improvements. State Representatives Greta Neubauer and Peter Barker are going to host a town hall meeting tonight at the George Bray Neighborhood YMCA. There'll be open discussion about the upcoming legislative session, focusing in on issues like transportation, infrastructure, K-12 education, and gun safety. Starts at 6 o'clock. It's scheduled to last about 90 minutes. The Bray Center is about a half block south of the City Hall Annex. Kenosha County Board approving the appointment of Summers trustee Joseph Cardinale as the 15th District Supervisor, a replacement for the late Greg Rentslaff, but it was not a unanimous vote. The chairman of the board, Daniel Esposito, noting that during the interviews of the five people who applied for the position, he did not ask them their political philosophy.
I asked every candidate what nonpartisan meant to them, because I believe that the board is and must be nonpartisan. After careful and thoughtful review of the qualifications of all the candidates, based on the current service, my belief as those characteristics, experience, and skill set will best serve both the board and the residents of the 15th District, I am now appointing Joseph Cardinale as the 15th District Supervisor.
Cardinale's indicated he'll resign from the Summers Board to devote his full attention to the County Board, will serve until a special election in April. City of Burlington's going to buy a foreclosed property at 617 North Pine Street across from the old Standard Press Building to mainly control the land, but also to alleviate blight in the downtown area. A decision by the Common Council to approve the agreement with Racine County, which had taken the site in foreclosure. City Administrator Karina Walters saying staff has been inside. It's not a pretty situation. Taking control, improves the city's options for future use of that site.
We have pictures of the ceiling that is literally falling down and much of the deteriorated infrastructure. Staff wouldn't suggest to purchase property because I would agree with you that it's just probably not in the best interest for the city to own various properties throughout the community.
The odds are against the developer, she said, buying the site, a dilapidated building on it, almost $59,000 in back taxes. With the acquisition comes the city, paying the county almost $6,200 in past costs on sewer, water, and snow removal. Alderman Stephen Rock, the only no vote. Mount Pleasant Village Board this week accepting the bid of more than $366,000 to take down buildings on Highway H in the Foxconn area. Gallig Waste Removal previously awarded bids on two other demo projects in the area, the only company to submit the bid for the latest project. Doesn't make sense to keep running coal-fired power plants as energy production shifts over to natural gas and renewables like wind and solar. That's according to Dan Kruger, a senior VP for WEC Energy Group, the parent of We Energies, who says their coal-fired power plants, like the now-closed site in Pleasant Prairie, are being replaced with cleaner, newer generating assets that usually reduce customer costs. Dean Foreman, a chief economist for the American Petroleum Institute, says infrastructure, also very important for American consumers, as well as incoming companies, that is, like Foxconn and Amazon and Haribo. And a generic roadmap, achieving smart city status for Racine and Kenosha. It was part of a forum at UW Parkside yesterday. Keynote speaker Chelsea Collier, the founder of Digi.City, said getting there relies less on gizmos and gadgets than identifying priorities and building consensus. Also during the forum, Foxconn executive Alan Young with more details about the company's $1 million 3-year competition for great smart city ideas. Specific suggestions, how do we improve living and working environments?
We really believe in having a place that would one day rival Route 128, you know, in the Boston area, and of course Highway 101, Silicon Valley on the West Coast in San Francisco Bay Area, where I spent almost 21 years over there.
Smart City Contest is open to students and faculty of the state's colleges and universities. WRJN.com is our webpage where we keep our newscast in podcast form in the local news section. Throughout the day, at WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.